I honestly believe, had I been the only one, he'd have died for me. And it's not that I think that much of myself. I believe had you been the only one, he'd have died for you. Why do you say that? Because he loves one no more than he loves the other. He loved me like he loved the Apostle Paul. He loves me like he loved John the Baptist, who laid his hand on his breast. He loves me like he loved Simon Peter, who preached on the day of Pentecost. He loved me like he loved his earthly mother, Mary. Amen. He loved me. Amen. He loves you that much, too. Take your Bible tonight and turn with me to 1 Corinthians. I won't be long. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. But I'll tell you what I will be tonight is serious. I don't think this is a portion of Scripture that we take lightly or that we take for granted. I think this time we do it just a couple of times a year. Some churches, some denominations, they do it every service, every Sunday. I think that is like a lot of the songs we sing. It loses its specialness. And it just becomes a form or a fashion or a vain repetition, if you will. Amen. I think when we partake of the Lord's Supper and we remember what he did for us, it ought to move us. Yes. Amen. It ought to move us toward him. It ought to move us away from sin in the flesh. Are y'all all right? Yes. So it'll be a serious time. Amen. Every year, since 9/11, all over our country, they hold memorial services. The largest one is in New York City at Ground Zero. They hold a memorial in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. I've been there preaching twice during that time. Every hotel in the town is full. Bikers come from all over America. There was over 3,000 motorcycles in Somerset, Pennsylvania, to do a commemorative ride and a memorial service out at Shanksville where the plane went down at 9/11. They say at these memorial services that tears are shed, lives are remembered, and that's very much what we're doing here tonight. Amen. 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 But the one we're remembering tonight is not dead. Amen. Are you listening? Todd Beamer on flight 93, who made the famous statement, "Let's roll," and they took the plane and drove it into the ground. His body is in the ground somewhere. Are you listening? Saved man? I believe so. I believe so. I'll be highly upset I get to heaven. He ain't there. Amen. I pray old Todd was saved. That's an American in my book. Amen. But his body is buried somewhere. I'm glad the tomb or the grave where our Savior lay lies empty tonight. We're not remembering a dead Savior. We are good night. Well, I may preach. Amen. We are celebrating a risen Savior tonight. Amen. God, the bus kids sing it best, I think. God's not dead. No, he's alive. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Hey, we're saved and on our way to heaven. We ought to know why. I said we ought to know why and we ought to remember why. Amen. I'll be honest with you. I know old Ed McMahon's dead. I don't know who took his place. But whoever took his place, if they brought me one of them big cardboard checks, Brother Stacy, $10 million. I noticed the other day they're offering I think it's $1 million and $500,000 a year for the rest of your life. I would pray to live to 90. Amen. Y'all listening? I mean, brother, I'd never forget that man's face that brought me that check. Would you? Come on. Sure you wouldn't. You're human. But man, that's temporal. Somebody brought me eternal life. How dare me let that slide under the rug. Amen. That ought to be the forefront of our minds every day of our lives. Amen? Amen. Paul deals with this issue with the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. This will be old news to some of you, but I think you ought to be reminded every time we do this. Amen. And I'll be honest with you, I've wrestled with this and I've said, Lord, it seems like we preach pretty much the same thing. Last time I preached on the body I believe. Our brother Charles preached on the body, and I preached on the blood. Is that how we did that? And we split that thing up, and I prayed about it and asked God what I needed to do today. He said, just tell them the old story. Amen? Yeah. Tell them the old story. I don't care if you've been saved 100 years. This ought not to get old to you. Yeah. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, look at it with me if you would, and verse number 23. He said, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. Now after the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he come. The Lord just showed me something. I need to make a mark right there. Just bear with me. You do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. That ought to be one of the key reasons we're here tonight. Amen. Let me just stop right there just for a second. I don't have no problem examining you. None whatsoever. I can be dead flat honest with what's wrong with you. But I'll lie to myself about what's wrong with me.
Amen.
Come on, you're that way. I guarantee you. You don't mind thinking about everybody else, but not me. Amen. We look at everybody else, makes us feel better about ourselves. Come on, talk to me. Amen. He said, but let a man examine himself. So tonight, I think what he's saying right there is you need to be honest with yourself. You ought to just get real right here tonight. Take off the facade. I'm talking about not to me, not to Brother Freddie, not to Brother Charles, you and the Lord tonight. Amen. Let a man examine himself. What verse was that? Yeah. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. You know what I think he's talking about here? And I may not even preach the message. Listen, I think he's talking about your motive. I think he's talking about your motive. Why you do this. If this is a formality to you, you're in trouble. If this is a ritual, a religious ritual to you, you're in a mess. I'd advise you not to even do it tonight. When they come by with the plate and the dish with the little cups in it, just say no. Nobody look down their nose at you. Amen. If you don't understand what it is, don't do it. Don't do it. Amen. Make sure we're doing it for the right reason. And we ought to make sure, and by the way, we give an altar call before we do it. Make sure your heart's right. Amen. Where was I at? I can't keep getting stuck. Verse 30, thank you, boys. He said, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. He means dead, not nodding off in church. You got it? For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry for one another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. In other words, this is not a meal. That you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Brother William said some time ago, I would tell who it was, but I wouldn't want to embarrass anybody, but some time ago, there's a young lady in our church had a boyfriend, and he came to church with her on the night we were having the Lord's Supper. And Brother William, Miss Jennifer asked them out to eat. Before church started, they asked them if they wanted to go out after church to eat. And here's what the young man said. I thought we were having supper here. He didn't understand. He didn't understand. He took this as a meal. We're not doing this tonight because we're hungry. If you're taking this because you're hungry, you're going to leave wanting. Because you're going to get a piece of bread about that big and a thimble full of fruit juice. Amen. A thimble full of fruit juice. That's it. That's all you're getting. It's not to fill our bellies. It's to fill our mind. Let me say it again. It is not to fill our bellies. It is to fill our minds. I want us to think take just a minute tonight as we celebrate the Lord's table or the Lord's Supper. Some people call it communion. I don't like that. It's not my favorite word just because that's what the Catholics use. Y'all okay? And when they do it, they think they're actually eating Jesus and drinking his blood. That's cannibalism.
Amen.
Amen. This is not literal, it's symbolic. Amen. But tonight when we come to the Lord's table, there are several things that we ought to look at. I want you to look at verse number 23 and 25 again. And I'll hurry through this tonight. I want to get to what we're here for, but I want us to understand what and why we're doing it. Verse 23, he said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was buried, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Let me say the first place we ought to look tonight as we come around the Lord's table to partake of the Lord's Supper tonight is we ought to look back.
Amen.
We ought to look back. In other words, what we are remembering tonight is what the Lord did for us. Amen. In verse number 23, Paul said he had received instructions from the Lord. In verse 24, he said, "The Lord said, Take and eat. This is my body." By the way, we said it a second ago, that is not literal. The Catholic believe, and I can't pronounce that word, it's trans something, trans blah, 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 blah. They put that wafer on their tongue, and boy, that wafer becomes the body of Christ. No, it does not become the body of Christ. The body of Christ is in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father tonight, where he ever liveth to make intercession for me and you. When I put that bread in my mouth tonight, I am remembering the body of the precious Lamb of God that was broken and beaten for me and for you. By his stripes we are healed. I remember as I put the bread in my mouth that his visage was marred more than any man. In other words, you just could not tell who he was, but you couldn't tell what he was. His body was broken for you.
Amen.
And we do that to remember what he did. Brother Robbie told me before church that they visited his grandfather for his birthday. He's 90 years old. Is that right? 90 years old. Served in World War II. They said he had letters from Clinton, both the Bushes, and Obama. And Carter. Letters from five presidents. You know what it is? It's an honor of what he did. Let me say it again. It's an honor of what he did. In other words, somebody was willing to lay down their life that others may live.
Yes.
Tonight as we celebrate the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is in honor and in memory of what he did. Some people throw a party and get wild and crazy to remember something. Tonight we don't want a party. We want to humble ourselves as we remember the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see him tonight at Gabbatha? Do you know what Gabbatha was? Gabbatha means the place of a stone.
Amen.
They strapped his naked body to a rock.
Yeah.
And they beat. They beat him with a whip called a flagron. You know it as a cat of nine tails.
Yes.
They said that every lash of that flagron or that cat of nine tails would remove layers of flesh. First would be the sinew, the outer flesh, and then the muscle. They said after about 5, 6, maybe 10 licks, it started tearing into bone. He got how many of them? 40? 39. 39. They say that nothing could have possibly been left. Possibly. They said most men never made it to the cross. They hung their bodies on the cross. They were already dead. They hung their bodies on the cross in shame of the life they lived. The Bible said, cursed is the man that hangeth on a tree. That was the most wicked or the most vile way a man could die. They would beat him to death at Gabbatha, then hang their corpse on the cross for all the world to look at and make fun of and gawk at. But Jesus Christ went through Gabbatha. He took the beating and then carried his own cross.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. You know what he's doing today? He's still carrying the cross. He's carrying my cross, and he's carrying your cross. He's carrying my suffering. He's carrying my shame, and he's carrying your suffering, and he's carrying your shame tonight. He bore in his body. He bore in his body the iniquity of us all. When we look at Calvary, I don't think our minds think about the physical part of it. Our minds think about the blood and the gore and the guts. I think about the crown of thorns that they plaited together and beat down on his head. I can see those big green thorns as they puncture the skin and hit the skull and turn. I can see them as they come out his forehead and his eyes. I see that. But that wasn't the worst part of Calvary. Jesus in the garden bowed before the Father, and it said, he said, if it be thy will, I pray thee, let this cup pass from me. We've said it many times. What was it? Was it the beating? No. Was it the hanging naked before the world? The gambling for his clothes? The spear in his side? No. What was in that cup was my sin. He bore in his body the iniquity of us all. Do you know what it means to feel guilty? Some people have no conscience. Their conscience is seared. Do you know what it means to do something bad and feel guilty? Come on, talk to me. Really feel bad about something you did? Imagine for a minute having the guilt of the whole world, past, present, and future.
Amen.
Can you imagine having the guilt of Jeffrey Dahmer? Can you imagine having the guilt of Larry Flint? Could you imagine bearing the guilt of Charles Manson?
Amen.
Bring it on down. Could you imagine bearing the guilt of you? That's what he carried to Calvary.
Amen.
It was more than a piece of wood.
That's right, bro.
It was my past.
Amen.
And your past.
Amen.
And every man, woman, boy, or girl that's ever lived, that's what he carried up that Via Dolorosa road.
Yes,
it was our sin.
Amen.
And as we come tonight and we take this little unleavened piece of bread and we put it in our mouth. We use unleavened bread because when the Lord had this supper, it was Passover time, and it would have been unleavened bread. Tonight as we do that, would you remember? Look back. Look back. Realize you're here by the grace of God.
Amen.
Realize you're saved by His grace.
Amen.
I don't think it was by chance, Brother Stacy. 1970, when a man knocked on my door while I was watching cartoons, handed me some bubble gum, and invited me to ride a bus to White Oak Springs. I believe that was a divine appointment. I believe the grace of God said there's a boy being raised by a single mom who needs to hear what I did at Calvary. You better remember that. You better remember what got you where you are today. None of us are saved because we deserved it. None of us are saved because we earned it. We're saved because He bought it. Do you know what? If you had to pay for your sin, you couldn't. You couldn't even begin. The poor old Mormons think they can work it off, bless their heart. I feel sorry for them. I do. I don't hate them. I hate the doctrine that's been pumped in their head. But these guys out riding these bicycles, they believe that, don't they, Brother Freddie? They believe that with all their heart. And it's hard to convince them any other way, man. They've just been blinded. But you can't even, you ain't no way. You can pedal a bicycle around the world and you hadn't scratched the surface. Why don't we realize it's not our work, but the work that he's already done? You remember what he said at Calvary? His last words on planet Earth. Father, I have finished what? The work. I finished the work which thou gave. He did it. There's nothing left for me to earn. All I've got to do is accept the gift. As we come here tonight and we partake of this Lord's Supper, we are taking a backward look. I want you to remember that tonight. I want you to look at verse number 26. He said, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup." Now I want you to look at this little word. Ye do. Look at this next word. Show. S-H-E-W. The Lord's death till he come. Ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Listen, this is not only a look backward, but it's a look forward. It's not only a look backward at what Christ did, but it's a look forward at what Christ is yet to do. Amen. This part gets exciting. The last part is humbling. Makes me want to crawl up under the pulpit tonight. But this part makes me look forward at what is yet to come. Yes, amen. It ain't over, friend. This thing's just getting good. Hallelujah. He said in verse number 26, please note the little word show. You know what that word means? It means to proclaim. Watch this. Amen. Or to preach. Amen. That word show means to proclaim or to preach. In other words, when I physically in a public place put that little piece of bread on my tongue and I take that cup which represents the blood of Jesus Christ, I am physically preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is what this is in representation of. Woo, amen. When you take this tonight, you put that bread in your mouth representing the body of the Lord, that cup in your mouth representing the blood of Jesus Christ, you are saying to everybody in this congregation, I believe it, I accept it, I trust it. Amen. I believe in the old-fashioned gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, son, that'll preach. A visitor could say, what are you doing? Well, let me tell you. Let me tell you, is that all they'll give you? That's all it takes. Amen. They won't give you more than that to drink. Don't need any more. I'm not drinking this because I'm thirsty. I'm not eating this bread because I'm hungry. Let me tell you why I'm doing this. Amen. We are preaching our own faith in the sufficiency of the broken body of Christ. Y'all listening? In other words, it's enough. It's enough. We are making a statement of faith. It's like baptism. Baptism is not a part of salvation. Baptism happens because of salvation. Eating the wafer and the sacraments, that's a part of their salvation. This is not part of our salvation. We're doing this because of our salvation. This is not to get to heaven. This is because we're going. Amen. Can I get a witness? Somebody help me. Not to make us any better, but just to, hallelujah, celebrate him. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, it's a statement of our faith. By doing this tonight, you are saying at one point, place, or a time, I have put my faith in the broken, beaten, bloody body of Jesus Christ. Yeah. And I've trusted by faith that his blood washed my sins away. Yeah. Amen. That's pretty good preaching, ain't it? Amen. Yeah, it's not only looking backward, but it's looking forward. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 26 and verse 29. He said, but I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. He said, as oft as you do it in remembrance of me.
Yeah,
Brother Freddie, he sat around that table. I could just see him. He looked down there at old John. Well, of course, he didn't have to look far. He's usually right there. He looked at Peter and James, and he said, boys, y'all, as often as y'all do this, y'all remember me. He said, but I'll make you a promise. I won't do it again. I won't do it again till we do it together.
Yeah,
woo! It's not just looking back. It's looking forward. One of these days, the old song said, Christ will gird himself and serve us with sweet manna all around. Hallelujah. There's coming a day. Amen. I've got something not only to look back on, but I've got something to look forward to.
Amen.
I think the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to be a high time. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen,
I truly do. I truly do. I've heard a lot of people say different things. I heard one preacher say that at the marriage supper of the Lamb, we'd have fish and honeycomb because that's what he served the disciples on the seashore. I don't see any Bible for that. He served them what was available. I've got a feeling that we'll have this right here. He told his disciples, you do this as often as you will. Do what? Eat this bread and drink this cup. But I won't do it till I do it with you again. I don't know what we'll have. We may have ribeyes. I don't know. But I got a feeling it'll be just what he had with them boys in that little upper room. I want you to imagine something with me. It's going to be special for us all. It's going to be wonderful for us all. But could you imagine those 11? Not 12. I don't think Judas will be there. He's in his own place wherever that's at. But can you imagine just getting to sit at that table and see John? That's going to be something. He was there at the original. He was there where this started. And we're going to get to witness that, friend. We're going to get to partake of that. Listen, I know this world is dark and dim and society doesn't have much to offer us in the way of encouragement. I watch the news. Man, you listen to enough of the news, man, you'll get depressed. I'm serious. It's sad, man. You listen to Glenn Beck for about 30 minutes and you need antidepressants. That's no joke, man. I believe about half of what they say. Amen. And boy, it's sad. This world's in a mess. I believe they're right. It ain't getting better, Brother Freddie. It's getting worse. But in that, there's a glimmer of hope.
Amen.
Jesus said these things must come to pass. This world's got to get worse before he comes. All that tells me is, yes, Mr. Beck, you're right. Jesus is coming soon.
Yeah,
I'm ready to get my napkin out.
Amen.
We ought to look back tonight and remember what Jesus did for us at Calvary. But we ought to look forward tonight. As we take this, we are preaching the gospel. We are giving a testimony that we believe that Jesus died for our sin. We are taking this and we are looking forward to the supper that is to come. I can't imagine it. I've always tried to picture how long that table is. I mean, I'm just a normal human being. I just try to visualize. Can you picture it? We went to Lockheed and had a meal with Brother Charles for his retirement. I keep wanting to say graduation, his retirement. And we stepped out into the hallway of the office part of the building, and me and Brother Freddie, and we stopped and we looked, and you looked down the hall as far as you could see, and couldn't hardly see the end. Looked down the hallway the other way, as far as you could see. That's about the way that table's going to be, I imagine. I don't believe we're going to be split up in groups. I believe we're going to sit with him. And I believe we'll be able to see the end, however long it is. And you know what we're going to see at the end? It's going to be him. Paul said, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. I don't believe you'll be able to see him no better than I will, no matter where you're sitting at the table. Woo! Hallelujah! You know, it doesn't matter where you live in America.
whether you're out west, whether you're in the Midwest, whether you're on the West Coast, whether you're in the South, whether you're in the North, Northeast, doesn't matter. Moon looks the same to everybody. Sun looks the same to everybody. Does it not? That's the way it's going to be. It don't matter where you're at. You're going to have the same view. Amen. Amen. It's a forward look. It's a backward look. But very importantly tonight, verse 27, it's an inward look. Make it verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup, of that cup. It's an inward look. Tonight we are to examine ourselves. And that's what this altar call we're about to have is about. It's a time where we get on our face and we get honest with Him about who we are, about where we are, about what's going on in our lives. There's things about you I don't want to know. There's things about me you don't need to know. But there needs to be nothing between me and God tonight. This is where it's all laid out. You understand? This is kind of like a pre-judgment seat of Christ, if you will. This is where we throw ourselves on the mercy of the Lord. And we examine our manners. Are we taking the Lord Jesus and the sacrifice He made? Is our mind wandering? What are we doing? How are we doing this? In what manner are we doing this? Are we doing it for the right reason? I'll be honest with you, I thought about this before church, and I thought about maybe not making this statement, but I'm going to. Everybody don't act the same, and I don't expect that. Everybody don't cry like I cry. Everybody don't shout like I shout. But if this doesn't stir your heart, I wouldn't do it. Is that okay? If this doesn't stir your heart, pull you to a place of guilt and shame, make you feel unworthy of what Jesus did for you, I wouldn't even fool with it. What manner are you doing this in? What's our motives? Is our heart pure from bitterness? Any other sinful attitude? Think about it. Is your heart clean? Is your heart clean? Jehu was riding down the heart road one day in his chariot, and he come up on the fellow and he said, "Hey, is your heart right like my heart's right?" Boy, I think about that statement all the time. If somebody looked at somebody else in this building and said, "Is your heart right like my heart's right?" That may not mean a whole lot. When I was a kid, Brother Rainey, you and Miss Linda, I know y'all remember, but first Wednesday night of every month, we had conference. Boringest thing in the world. I've seen more lies told in conference meeting than I've seen in politics. Every conference meeting, the pastor, whether it was Brother Earl, Brother Drewy, where it was Brother Charles, didn't matter who the pastor was, same rules of decorum. Everybody's hearts and minds clear. Let it be known by raising your hand. Everybody raise their hand. Bunch of liars. What was the statement they made, Brother Atkins, about the brethren, about anything between the brethren, something like that? There was a... Yeah. If everybody knows in your heart that you're at peace and fellowship with the brethren, let it be known by saying aye. And everybody would say, "Ah," they ought to add to that, "I'm a liar."
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. In the next week, we'd have a church split.
Yeah.
Y'all right? I'm telling the truth. Amen.
Amen.
I worked with some of them guys in the summer, and I'd look and I'd think, "I don't know if he ought to say I or not." Amen. This is where we get honest. And I'm not asking you to do it publicly. I'm not asking you to raise your hand or to say aye. I'm asking you to examine your manners and your motives between you and God.
Amen.
On the altar tonight, we ought to examine our methods. I mean, we ought to just take a step back and look at our life. How are you doing? How are you doing? You ever ask the Lord that? That's a scary question, isn't it? David asked the Lord to examine him, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
He said, God, why don't you check me out? To see if there's anything wrong. Lord, examine me. It's real easy for me to fool myself. But boy, if we come to God honestly and humbly and say, God, is there anything wrong? He's going to show you. He'll say, you ask. Here it is. What are you going to do with it? Let's stand to our feet tonight. Miss Janice, if you would, you come. Before we pass the bread and the cup, let's get on this altar tonight. Let's take that backward look for a second, that forward look, and then let's be real serious about that inward look.